Okay, I'd like to talk to us today from Hebrews chapter 6. So if you have a Bible and you'd like to turn to it, it's I'm going to read Hebrews 6 verses 13 to 20. And I call this sermon, An Anchor for Your Soul. And Hebrews 6, starting to read at verse 13, says, When God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so, after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. People swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument. Verse 18 then, God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain, where our forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. And as we continue in these quite surreal times, when all that's familiar seems so very out of joint, it's easy for us to feel discouraged and depressed. Many of us may even feel a bit like a boat that's cast adrift on a sea of doubt and despair. And if anybody's been at sea in a storm, that's a sickening place to be. We all need some stability in life. And this sense of uncertainty, which the current situation is causing, can make it feel as though we're trapped in a boat on a very stormy sea. You know, many people feel anxious and afraid, not at all sure of how to navigate through these stormy times. Others feel restless and ill at ease because all our familiar navigation points have been removed. Our routines and our coping strategies have been shaken up. I'm not a particularly good sailor. I'm okay if it's, you know, nice weather, but once it starts getting bumpy and rough, I don't like that much. I don't even really like roller coasters that much, you know, at theme parks. And at the moment, every day feels a bit like being on a roller coaster. You know, we've got moments when we feel everything's okay, you know, we're coping, it's okay. And then something happens and it can be something quite small and we feel like we're hurtling towards the bottom of the roller coaster. And you feel, don't you, as you're doing that, you lose your stomach, you know, it feels like you've lost, you know, all that sort of sense of stability and you don't know how to cope anymore. And it's exhausting. And for many people, it's totally unfamiliar. You know, with a roller coaster ride, you know that it's only going to last a few minutes. But we don't know really how long this situation will continue. And that additional layer of uncertainty makes it even worse. And we can find it hard to believe that God's in control, God is on the throne, that our God reigns, because the storms of life do make it hard for us to walk by faith. The other night, Gary and I watched a film on Netflix called The Perfect Storm, about a fishing crew on board a ship that was caught up in a hurricane. And the film was very well done. You know, I almost felt seasick as I was watching this boat go up and down as the waves crashed into it and the winds howled. And it really did capture the desperate nature of a few men battling all the forces of nature. It was a film that was adapted from a true story, and there was no happy ending for the crew or for their loved ones left behind. You know, the storm battered them, and in the end they lost their lives in it. And many of us may feel like that at the moment. We may feel that we're in a storm, and we may wonder whether we'll survive this period, either perhaps because we're afraid of the virus, or because we're not sure that our mental and emotional health will endure, or because we're not sure financially that we'll be able to cope with the recession to follow. But for Christians, there is a difference, because God is with us in every storm of life. Just as Jesus was in the boat with the disciples when that fierce storm came upon them that we read about in Mark chapter 4, and then he ultimately calmed that storm and protected them, we too can know that God is with us at this time, and that's what will see us through. In Mark chapter 4, verse 35, Jesus told his disciples, let us go over to the other side. And I believe by faith that just as that storm didn't ultimately prevent them from reaching the other side of the lake, so too nothing will be able to separate us from God's love at this current time or in the future. nothing will be able to thwart God's purposes and plans. He is still Lord of all. You know, today is the day of Pentecost, that day when the Holy Spirit came upon the church and transformed those nervous believers into fearless witnesses. And as we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us again, we too can find the grace and the strength to carry on our lives as God's people. And this passage in Hebrews 6 talks about hope as an anchor for the soul in verse 19. An anchor, as you probably all know, is a device usually made out of metal that's used to connect a ship to the bed of a body of water to prevent that vessel from drifting due to the wind or to a current. And anchors can be either temporary or permanent. A permanent anchor is used if a boat's moored, for example. Anchors achieve their holding power by hooking into the seabed or by their sheer mass, or by a combination of those two things. The anchor gets embedded into the seabed and it's attached to the vessel by means of a rope or a cable known as the rod. And there are lots of different kinds of anchors, but the purpose of an anchor is the same. It's to keep the ship steady, to stop the ship from drifting. And we need an anchor for our souls to keep us firm and secure. Without an anchor, we're likely to drift. And the writer to the Hebrews has already talked about that in chapter 2, verse 1. He says, we must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. All of us can drift away from God if we're not careful. What we need is that anchor that can keep us firm and secure. And in these stormy times, more than ever, we need an anchor. The writer to the Hebrews takes us through Old Testament history. He reminds us of the many promises that God has made to his people and of God's faithfulness in fulfilling those promises. And he reminds us that the promises that God makes are actually based on his own nature. In verses 13 to 14, he says, when God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. God's very nature is reliable, unchanging, and therefore we can hope in his promises. Normally, if we want someone to be sure that we'll do what we say we'll do, we take an oath. We swear by something or someone greater than ourselves. But it says God wanted us to be sure of the unchanging nature of his purpose. And so he swore this oath to Abraham, the father of our faith. The oath wasn't based on anyone greater than God, because there is no one greater than God. The Message version puts it like this. When God wanted to guarantee his promises, he gave his word, a rock-solid guarantee. God can't break his word. And because his word cannot change, the promise is likewise unchangeable. So the first thing that we see from these verses is that God means what he says. God doesn't lie. Hebrews 6, verse 18 tells us it's impossible for God to lie. We've seen that in the Old Testament. Numbers 23 verse 19 says, God is not human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? And the Bible reassures us that no matter what people are like, God means what he says and he keeps his word. He doesn't promise things and then forget about those promises. He doesn't promise things and then decide, oh, I was wrong to promise that, so I won't do it. He doesn't promise things and then decide that because of our sinfulness, it's okay for him to give up on the promise. The promises that God makes, he keeps. You know, the writer to the Hebrews is adamant about that. Later on in chapter 10, verse 23, he says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And the whole basis of our faith rests on the faithfulness of God. It's because of his faithfulness and his ability to keep the promises that he makes that we can have hope. And many of us, I think, need constant reminders that God is faithful because we experience unfaithfulness in so many areas of our lives. People are unfaithful. We don't always mean to be. We're not always deliberately unfaithful, but we're all sinful. And so inevitably we let each other down at times. And that means that we're all bruised people who, in some way or other, are afraid to trust. And that wariness, that doubt, that tendency to think, you know, can I really trust you, is then transferred onto God. Most of us cope with other people's unfaithfulness and the unreliability of people by holding them at arm's length. And that's great for social distancing, but it's not good for developing good relationships. And we can be like that with God too. We can keep him at arm's length. We try to trust him, but there's that niggling doubt in our minds. And that doubt easily becomes magnified when we're in the middle of the storms of life. Does God really care about me? You know, the disciples essentially went to Jesus and said that in the boat, didn't they? Teacher, don't you care if we drown? You know, how could Jesus care about them if he was asleep in the boat doing nothing about their impending peril? You know, how can Jesus care about us if he's doing nothing right now to change our situations? That's how we reason. And you can see the reason in it. You can see why it's so persuasive to us. It sounds so very plausible. But the Bible's adamant that God cares about us and he's working for our good in every circumstance of life. And he's even able to use what others mean for evil for our good. So we go down the God doesn't care road at our peril, because that goes against what God's word teaches us. God's word teaches us that God is faithful all the time. Here's just a few verses that remind us of that. Deuteronomy 7 verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. Deuteronomy 32 verse 4. He is the rock. His works are perfect. All his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong. Upright and just is he. Psalm 25 verse 10. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful toward those who keep the demands of his covenant. Psalm 33 verse 4. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. Psalm 57 verse 10. For great is your love reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Psalm 89 verse 14. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. And perhaps one of the most famous verses in the Old Testament, Lamentations 3 verse 23. Great is your faithfulness. And all of those verses and many, many more besides remind us of God's faithfulness to us. We see it also in the New Testament. Paul reminds us of God's faithfulness in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 9 and in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13. And later on in 2 Corinthians 1, he says, as surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him it's always been yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. You know, if you don't remember anything else at all from this message, remember that God is faithful. And it's because God's faithful that we've got hope. You know, we may feel like there's not very much to be positive about at this current time. We may feel circumstances are against us. We may feel that we don't have much going for us. And I'm sure Abraham felt like that for many years, as he waited to receive what God had promised him, a son. You know, that promise seemed ludicrous. He and Sarah were both past childbearing age, and the promise seemed to have been forgotten. You know, hence their foray into sorting the issue themselves of the birth of Ishmael. But ultimately, verse 15 says, after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. It took a long time. It took years rather than months. But the time came when Abraham and Sarah received their promise, a son granted to them by God's miraculous power, a son through whom all the nations of the earth would be blessed. God was faithful. And we can trace God's faithfulness through the rest of the Bible as we watch Isaac grow and marry and have children, as we see God's faithfulness to his people through famine and war, as we read of slavery and deliverance, of freedom and exile, and ultimately as we see that promise take on human flesh and walk among us. No matter how bad the situations got, no matter how unfaithful God's people were, God was there. He was always faithful, always keeping his covenant, always keeping his promises. Joshua could say at the end of his life, you know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. Today, as we celebrate the day of Pentecost, that's another example of God's faithfulness and his ability to keep his promise, because he promised to pour out his spirit on all peoples in the Old Testament, in Joel, and on the day of Pentecost, that's what he did. So we can enter into the despair and lament that God's people have felt on many occasions when they could see no way that God's promises could be fulfilled. But we can also see that hope wasn't extinguished. Hope didn't disappoint. You know, there were many times in history when hope languished, when fear and doubt seemed to be winning, but God's never been anything other than faithful. And that's why the writer to the Hebrews, who were themselves facing persecution and death because of their faith in Jesus, could speak about them fleeing to take hold of the hope set before them. That the writer could talk about this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. You might ask, well, why do we have hope? What are we hoping for? You know, when the Bible talks about hope, it's not just saying that there'll be an end to our present troubles, although it does talk about these as being light and momentary. It reminds us that we need to see our present troubles and suffering through the lens of eternity. So it isn't a message to say, you know, everything will be better soon, just cheer up. The hope of our faith isn't based on whether you're optimistic or not, or what your circumstances are. Hope for Christians is based on Jesus and what he's done. And the book of Hebrews has a lot to say about Jesus as our great high priest, how he's made that once and for all sacrifice for sin, which means we can now approach God's throne with confidence because of what he's done. And these verses talk of Jesus entering the inner sanctuary behind the curtain, the most holy place, in verse 20. They remind us he's our high priest. He now lives forever. In chapter 7, verse 25, it says that he lives forever and he's able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. A little bit further on, Hebrews 9, verse 28 says, Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Our hope is based on all that Jesus has done for us. The fact that his sacrifice brings us back into relationship with God, a relationship that nothing at all can sever. Paul says in Romans 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? You know, he looks at all those worst case scenarios and then he says, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul says that we've got hope because of all that Jesus has done for us. And because of that, it means we can't be separated from God's love. So today, we remember in particularly the day of Pentecost. And we can rejoice and have hope because God lives in us by his spirit. He's permanently with us. Our bodies, Paul says, are temples of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us through wordless groans. We've got hope ultimately because God is with us. And if God is with us, Paul says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Later on in the book of Hebrews, we read in chapter 10, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened up for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. There we're urged to hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, to hold fast, to keep firm possession of. And we can do that because that hope is an anchor for our souls. It tethers us to Christ. We might not feel that we've got a firm grip at all, but God has got hold of us. God is faithful. We can encourage each other to keep going, to keep the faith. You know, as the old hymn says, we have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Saviour's love. May God himself be the anchor for our souls. May he enable us to be firm and secure, to stand firm in his mighty power, to rest on his faithfulness, his love, and his forgiveness now and always.